I want to call to order the regularly scheduled Committee of the Whole meeting for tonight. I'm Dawn Vogelsberg, Alderman of the 3rd Ward, and I'll be chairing the meeting tonight with Mayor Burns right here. Thanks to our city photo for the time capsule, all the aldermen are here. So let's kick it off. All right, our first item of business is something very exciting. Oh, sorry. A consent agenda is not exciting. Okay, yes. First, we have to consider the consent agenda. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Hill, and second was Singer?
Yes.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions or comments on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, now something exciting. We, our first item of business is for the oath of officer for our newest police officer, David Ziegler, to be officiated, and we have our clerk, Lynn Lamberg, here. And Mr. Ziegler, would you like to come up, and anyone you want to bring up with you is fine.
Who's in arrest?
I've already told your family they can come up and take pictures, too. It's your night.
Yeah, I'm nervous. You sure you want Craig Maladra in the background of the photos?
I can take it.
Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, David Ziegler.
I, David Ziegler.
Having been appointed to the office of police officer.
Having been appointed to the office of police officer.
In the city of Geneva.
The city of Geneva.
County of Kane, aforesaid.
County of Kane, aforesaid.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And I will faithfully discharge.
I will faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office of police officer.
Duties of the office of police officer.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And Officer Ziegler, if you'd like to join us at the podium, just give us a little history of yourself. Otherwise, the mayor is going to interrogate you for the first time ever.
Because we know some facts about you.
Do you?
Thanks to your mom and dad.
Just a basic bio will be fine. Thank you.
My name's Dave Ziegler. I'm 36 years old.
And my wife, the age thing.
Sarah, three daughters. We live in Wheaton currently. I was born and raised in Wheaton, DuPage area. I've been in law enforcement for approximately 13 years, with working for county and federal government. And I'm incredibly excited to be here and to begin serving the city of Geneva.
And we're excited to have you too. Thank you. And now the
wait a minute.
Now the overpersonal, possibly against the law, questioning will happen.
No, these are statements because Miss Grandma and Grandpa shared with me information about your dad, which I think is worthy of sharing with everyone watching tonight. Number one, this guy was the first baby born, true, in DuPage County in 1976. January 1st is your birthday.
Wow.
Isn't that's pretty cool. And because of that, your sainted mother received all sorts of good stuff. Your father was upset about the tax deduction. Is that not true?
It is.
Do you still have the newspaper that features you being the first baby born in the bicentennial year?
I do not, but I'm sure it's in a scrapbook somewhere.
Sure it is. Do you still have it, Mom?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. And, of course, your father has been a deputy sheriff in DuPage County for 12 years.
Yes, sir.
Your less attractive brother for 8 years. And you ready for this, guys? You have a younger brother who's a pastor, a Lutheran pastor in British Columbia.
That's correct.
That's amazing. So one guy turned out okay. Awesome. I'm not saying which one, of course. You met your wife, Sarah, in high school.
Wow.
Senior year, you started dating.
Mm-hmm.
Your wedding anniversary is June 20th. 13 years. Pretty exciting. And that gift you're thinking of getting. Nice job. A weekend getaway to Batavia. Well done. Sarah, do you want to say anything about your husband, Officer Ziegler? Is it, it's Ziegler, correct?
Correct.
Okay, good.
She's speechless.
You guys have a very close relationship. That's exciting.
That's
now, I know Reagan, Kiana, and I forget the young lady on the left. Sydney, that's right. And how old are you ladies?
I'm
12, 11, and 9. Mm. Wow. Hey, bro, do you have any kids or anything? No? Just married to the job?
My wife, my lovely wife.
Ah, okay. She's not here tonight?
No, she couldn't make it.
Okay. And Sarah, I understand you work for a not-for-profit out of Oak Brook? It's called, is it Compassionate Friends? Is that what it is? And what's your role there? Important work? Wow, so you guys are really a family of public servants. That's pretty cool. When was the first time you came to Geneva?
I couldn't tell you. I was probably before the age of 10.
And, you know, he says he worked for the federal government. This guy worked in the customs out of Miami, Florida, and other areas. So you must have some extraordinary, not only stories, but experiences.
Yes, sir.
And you, see, yes, sir, Dawn. See that? And you wanted to return to the Midwest because of, not your brother, but other family members.
Our family is here.
That's really cool. And what do you think of the commanders?
They are the absolute best commanders a person could ever
have. Is that right? Is that in the personnel manual?
I believe so.
Now, who's
the
biggest...
When he calls you, sir, he's smart. But when he says something about the
commanders... Who's the biggest Bear fans on the council? Okay,
oh,
Ralph
yeah.
Dantino, this just in. Officer Ziegler's mother is a Packers fan.
Whoa.
We're going to miss Commander Nash. Yes, we can. We're delighted you're on board. Mm-hmm. We really are. Well, you are our 200th officer. I'm just kidding. I don't want that.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your good nature. From now on, you'll be asking all the questions.
Hey, girls, if you want a copy of this DVD, let me know. We can play it at parties or like on June 20th for the anniversary. That'd be awesome. Sound good? Are you guys going out to dinner tonight to celebrate?
No.
Head to Dairy Queen on the way home. It's good living. Get the large ones. Thank you, officer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And next on the agenda is to recommend approval of the request for use of right-of-ways for Children's Benefit League League Tag Days, April 13th and 14th. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Marks, and a second?
Second.
Killeberg seconds it. Anybody have any questions or comments about this or in the audience? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Come.
All right. Unanimous. Thank you. Okay. Letter D. Recommend. Oh, boy. What would I do without you? It would go faster. No. Letter C. Recommend approval of draft resolution authorizing the publication of the updated zoning map. Can I have a motion?
Second.
Hill and a second. Singer, I think. Oh, Brown. Sorry, Brown. Does anyone from the dais have any questions? Mr. Unch is here. If you have questions, I think it was well explained in the packet. Anyone in the audience? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. Thank you. Letter D, which I couldn't wait to get to. Recommend approval of draft resolution authorizing the purchase of primary cable of River Lane Underground Cable Replacement Program. Motion?
So
okay, Flanagan?
Second
from Maladra. Anybody have any questions about this? I saw Mr. Buffington, if we do. Anyone in the audience? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, unanimous. Thank you. Letter E is recommend approval of certification of completions for Encore and Living Well Cancer Center. Motion?
So moved.
Marks motions. Second is Flanagan. Does anyone have any questions about this for Mr. Buffington? Okay. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you. Okay. Letter F. Recommend approval of draft resolution authorizing execution of collective bargaining agreement between the City of Geneva and the Fraternal Order of Police labor contract.
Move approval.
Hill moves for approval. Second.
Second
is Maladra. Okay. Does anyone on the dais have any questions or comments? Would anyone from the audience like to ask the chief any questions, or Ms. Dawkins? Okay. It was very well presented in the packet as well. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. That is unanimous. Thank you. And now we have a presentation of the 2011-2012 miscellaneous budgets from City Administrator Mrs. McKittrick. And as you can see, letter H, then that'll be our chance to ask questions and actually take a motion and approve them if we feel that's where we want to go. My light thing?
Is that dark enough?
Yes. It's not, I'll hit the next one.
Good evening, Madam Chairman and City Council members. Tonight I'm presenting the 22 miscellaneous budgets. And next week we will finish up with the remaining, I believe there's 17 more to go. The budgets that I'm presenting this evening include these that are shown on the screen before you. And I just wanted to point out that each of these funds is its own budget. We interchange the terminology fund for budget. But each one, just for clarification, is a separate pot of money for a specific use. Each fund stands on its own. The budget, as you know, is a planning document. It's a map subject to change throughout the year. I also wanted to point out that it's an inaccuracy to add them all together and compare the total of these budgets to last year's budgets. I've seen and heard folks doing that. But it's not accurate to do that because, for example, pensions, the pension budget goes up, increases every year. That will add to the bottom line. The Fisher Farms SSA, for example, Dick works with the Homeowners Association. They determine what they want to pay into the SSA to complete capital improvements in that special service area. Debt service. Our debt service are subject to the obligations that we've already made. Anytime any of those increase and you add them together, the bottom line is going to increase. So there are some things that we don't have a lot of control over. So I just wanted to point that out, that that was not an accurate statement. If you've heard people talk about the total budget, adding all of our 30-plus budgets together and comparing that bottom line to last year's bottom line. The budget standards used for these and the budgets that I'll be presenting next week include a fuel increase of 10%, liability increase of 3%, and that is based on information that we received from our insurance carrier and broker. Those liability costs you won't see in these line items in the miscellaneous budgets because those have been moved to an internal fund. Workers' compensation, we've moved that proportionate share for those employees that you'll see in these budgets. We've moved those to the department budgets. it was too difficult to split them up. So if an employee is working and some of his or her wages are allocated to any of these miscellaneous budgets, the proportionate share of that person's wages goes back to the home department where they're from. And that's based on their wages and their position classification. The group health insurance increase, again, that's a six-month 10% increase based on information from our insurance representatives. Dental insurance, 6 months at a 3% increase. And those two are because our annual renewals are in November. So we're only talking about a six-month increase from November on. We know what it is from May until November, but we're projecting a 10% and a 3% respectively for those two insurance items starting in November and going through the end of the fiscal year. We're also projecting a 2%, up to a 2% wage increase for non-union employees, a 12% power increase, and ask the department heads to hold contractual and commodity increases at zero. You will see also in some of the budgets a line item called reappropriation. That is a revenue source from the fund balance in order to help that fund balance out. We are proposing to close two funds to implement better accounting practices in this upcoming fiscal year, and that being IMRF, Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund, because we're relocating it, again, to the individual department funds, because we felt like that was a better accounting to actually allocate the retirement for IMRF to those different departments where it comes from. Also, the tree nursery, as you know, we've pretty much depleted that fund toward our EAB program, and so there won't be many dollars left in that, so we're proposing to close that out. And it is something that we can accommodate in our public works budgets as well. Again, we're allocating Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund, workers' compensation, and FICA, Social Security, Medicare costs, and department budgets in order to consolidate line items and reflect a truer cost of operations. We believe that this will enhance the accountability, consistency, transparency, and reliability of the budget, and also to implement government accounting standards and best practices. To begin with, the beautification fund, we're showing revenues at $14,500 of that amount, a transfer from the general fund of $5,000. Expenses, zero the account out, revenues and expenses at $14,500, with an ending fund balance of about $31,117. And I say about on these funds because bills are still coming in. So this is the number that we're projecting. But if more invoices or bills come in for some of these accounts like beautification or cultural arts, those numbers could vary just a little bit. And as you know, the beautification committee maintains the flower beds and the flower planters and baskets throughout the town. Flowers are no longer donated annually as they used to be. And the revenues for this fund comes primarily from Pasta for Posies, which many of you attended this past week, and I'm sure Alderman Flanagan thanks you for that.
Thank you.
As well as firewood sales and a direct transfer, again, from the general fund. The cemetery fund. This is an enterprise fund intended to be self-funded. We are proposing this year to outsource the maintenance and services. For outsourcing, we are looking at a cost of about $50,000, and this is for the maintenance of the grounds as well as the burial services. By doing that, we believe that we can reduce the workforce by about $80,000. There would be no transfer from the general fund, and that fund would show, or that budget would show, an overall reduction of about $40,000. Total revenue is $60,320 projected. And all plot sale revenues are now used for operating expenses. Total expenses equal the revenues at $60,320. You will see in there, I received a question about the telephone expense. It was really high a couple of years ago. It was zero a year or so ago. And the only thing that I can say is that it hasn't been calculated or coded correctly in the past. And what we did is we took the actual bill for the telephone at the cemetery at $85 per month. That includes internet service because we don't have fiber out there. And then multiplied that times 12 to get the figure that you're seeing in this spreadsheet. As I mentioned in the past, there will be no revenue to support operations when the remaining plots are sold at Oak Hill. The Endowed Care Fund is a permanent fund with interest used as revenue, and that stands at $282,785. The New Development Fund is $60,568, and this has been used in the past for property acquisition, development of new areas, and we are suggesting to shift this to the General Cemetery Fund because, as I said, the revenues have been being depleted over the years, and we will, at a certain point, not have any more revenue coming in once all of those plots are sold. The ending net assets for the fund is $316,455. In front of you, you should have a corrected copy of the commuter parking fund. It's a new spreadsheet. It's one of four that are in front of you. I apologize for these corrections. Some of the numbers were wrong, so I would be asking that for tonight that you would recommend approval with the corrected copies of the commuter parking, the refuse, SSA 1, and one other one.
MFT?
MFT. And the MFT numbers are correct. The only thing different are the list of streets on there. So MFT, no changes in the numbers. The commuter parking fund, the revenues are projected to be $3.9 million, operating costs at $202,000. The wages in this fund should be $74,620 instead of $76,130. And, of course, the IMRF and FICA numbers are then reduced based on wages. The capital that's shown for $3.6 million, that includes the grant funding from METRA and the depreciation total together. As you recall, the third level of our parking deck was to be constructed this fiscal year, and that got postponed. We are still awaiting RTA approval on that. We've been assured that that should be coming, but we've been assured that that should be forthcoming, so we're still waiting. But we are optimistic and propose to put the grant funding and the project into the upcoming budget. Parking revenues will accordingly decrease by about 20% due to the third level construction because we will need to close down the parking deck completely during the 6 months approximate 5 to 6 months that the construction is taking place. And just for your information, our Geneva parking revenue from our fees includes 464 permits at $400 annually. And then daily, 519 daily spaces at either $1.75 in the outlot on Route 31 or $2 in the deck. I did get some information also. I haven't had a chance to really delve into it deeply, but it looks like at first glance that our fees are comparable to the average of the other stations along the line. Cultural Arts Fund, as you know, this is the appointed board that serves as an information center for our cultural arts. In addition to that, they are to provide guidance in creating a permanent cultural arts center and then once established to oversee the management thereof. This is part of the ordinance establishing the Cultural Arts Commission. Revenues for this commission are projected to be $57,960. There were a couple of questions I received about this, and you'll see that there's a new line item. The special event fees is lower because we separated out the film festival into a new line item. Expenditures then would be $57,960 with a transfer of $5,000 and an ending fund balance of approximately $39,583. And again, I say approximately because there may be a couple of invoices still yet to come on the Dancing with the Geneva Stars. Our debt service fund revenues at $1.691 million, expenditures the same. The ending fund balance, $370,592. The revenues for the debt service comes from property taxes. This includes bond and interest expenses for street improvements, Prairie Green, and public safety construction and rehabilitation that we did on the police department. The fund is 1.9% decreased from last year due to the refinancing that we recently did. And again, responding to another question that I received, the fund balance can only be used toward debt payments. We did some research, and I also spoke to our auditor, and we believe that the funds that remain in the fund balance are likely due to savings from refundings in the past. But again, we have not been able to track down specifics. As you recall, we spent the interest money. We transferred that, moved that toward the EAB program this year. So the remaining $370,000 would have to be applied toward debt payment. What I'm trying to find out, and I don't know yet, if it has to be applied toward specific debt payment or if it can be applied toward any of our debt payment. So I'll continue to research that and hopefully find an answer for you. Fire pension fund, revenues $632,900. The employer contributions, $270,900. Employee contributions, $162,000. Interest, also part of revenues, $200,000. And expenditures, $176,000. Of that $176,000, $150,000 will go out in the upcoming year for pension payments. The assets per our actuary are $10.2 million. The funding level is 89.8%. You'll recall that it was at 86% last year. So we are making some progress, just like with the general fund balance that we've been adding to every year. We are making some progress on the pension funds, albeit slowly but surely. The actuarial valuation gave us four scenarios as far as the levy and funding of the fire pension fund this year. And they ranged anywhere from $178,123 up to $299,410. We levied $252,257 and we're putting in $270,900. Group dental claims. Revenues are at $157,535 and expenditures the same. There is projected a 3% increase for mid-year renewal. This is an internal service fund and accounts for the financing of goods or services provided by one department to another on a cost reimbursement basis. The expenditures are based on an average claim for the total average claims over the past 2 years. And the fund balance is $3,747. Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund. This fund is eliminated in the next fiscal year as we are proposing for better accounting practices because we're moving that to each department based on the wages for those respective departments. The funding level is 83.4%, and the funds are invested statewide or by a statewide board, not a municipal appointed board like fire and police pensions are. So there's a completely separate system for those. The Mental Health Board Fund revenues are projected to be at $155,300 and expenditures at $142,000. The revenue for this fund comes from the tax levy. And we're projecting $139,000 available for distribution. I looked over the last 15 years, and the average distribution, when you add them all up, came out to about $117,251. The excess revenue of $13,330 would go to their fund balance to be used for a future capital investment, which has not been determined at this point, at least to my knowledge. So the closing balance would be $116,634. The motor fuel tax fund. The state allocation is $535,000. It'll get to $535 soon enough. The Illinois Jobs Now funding that we received two of these this fiscal year. We should receive one more for a total of $95,000 in the new fiscal year. And then reappropriation from the fund balance, $119,150, to cover the total expenditures of $750,000. This is used to help the annual capital improvement program, which is we're projecting right now, and we're still crunching numbers because that's in the next set of budgets that I'll bring to you. But we're looking at around $2 million, so this $750,000 contributes toward that. The police pension fund revenues, $1.285 million. The employer contributions are at $597,000. Employee contributions, $288,000, and interest at $400,000. Expenditures this year, upcoming year, would be $950,000 in pension payments. The assets per the actuary is $14.9 million. Funding level is 61.8%, up from 59% last year. Again, we're making progress each year, adding to it. And the valuation from the actuary gave us four scenarios, and they ranged from $742,000 to $863 relative to a recommended contribution. Obviously, our levy could not support that, but we did levy for the $490,000, and we're contributing in addition to that to make the total contribution just under $600,000. Prairie Green Fund revenues at $101,530. This is from the contracts, the farming contracts that the council has approved. Expenditures in the amount of approximately $40,000. The farm lease is for 286 acres at $355 an acre this upcoming calendar year. And of that amount of revenue, or I'm sorry, of expenditures, about $20,000 is paid in property taxes. We do pay property taxes on the farmed property because we're receiving income on that. As discussed previously, we plan to plant test plots for the next 2 years and evaluate the plots and make a decision going forward to determine what will be the next step. I believe that Dick is still going to come back with a three-year program, but this is just to let you know that two of the 3 years we're proposing as the test plots, and the expenditures in about this amount would cover the same for each of those 2 years. The ending fund balance of $127,458. You have in front of you a corrected copy. Again, a few of our numbers were wrong. The revenues for this fund should be $379,375. The miscellaneous income that you'll see, the line item, comes from Allied Waste. They contribute toward recycling program and then bin sales as well, recycling bins. Our expenditures are projected at $379,375. The correction in the hard copy that you have in front of you is because wages should be $27,000 instead of $28,000, those particular numbers shown. And then the IMRF and FICA numbers are reduced accordingly based on those wages. The refuse contract is up for renewal next year, and we're also noting that the refuse fee should be increased to cover both leaf and brush contract increases that we'll see in the upcoming year and beyond. The net assets stand at $232,770, and the cash assets are $159,463 at at the end of last year's fiscal year. Strategic Plan Advisory Committee Fund, the revenues are projected to be $9,000, with including a transfer from the general fund of $5,000, expenditures again at $9,000, with an ending fund balance of $6,290. Much of this, about probably half of the revenues, come from committee fundraising. The active committees include the International Cultural Exchange Committee, the Natural Resources Committee, Student Government, and the Bike Ped Committee. I believe Geneva Learners is also still an active committee. And the retired subcommittees, as many of you will recall, included River Park, Skate Park, Tree Conservation, and the Forum for Arts and Education. SSA 1, corrected copy in front of you due to the wages again being corrected. Property taxes, we are projecting at $170,000 based on our levy this year. A reappropriation from the fund balance of $60,355, transfer of $90,000 from the general fund in order to balance this budget, with total expenditures at $290,505. The wages should be $145,025 instead of $147,805. Included in those wages are 90% of the wages for two street maintenance workers, 20% for two of our community service officers, and 5% for the city administrator. It also includes snow removal related wages for the SSA. And as you know, a public work employee is assigned, two employees are assigned to the SSA. One of them left last September and was replaced with an employee who had more seniority and a higher wage. So that required a wage adjustment. Also, IMRF and FICA numbers are reduced based on the wages accordingly. The total debt owed on the Series 2001 bond for the SSA, and this was another question that I received, is $352,500. The interest rates vary depending on the year, between 4.1% and 5.15%. The bond matures in 2016. We can, I believe, use the debt service fund to pay off this bond, but again, I'm double-checking that. It's debt. Like I said, the only thing that we have to try to find out is whether or not that fund balance has to be used toward specific debt or if it can be used toward any debt. The fund balance for the SSA 1 is $28,103. And a few of the capital projects not in this fund, because this fund could not support them, but we're proposing to put these in the capital fund, is a removal and replacement of the surface at Block 50. Does everyone know where Block 50 is, the parking lot? Between 3rd and 4th, James and State. And that's $76,000 that would be allocated to the capital improvement program this year. We're looking to seal coat the James and River lot, 4th Street lot, Block 53 lot, and the police lot, and that would be about $14,000. And then we're also looking to construct and finish the Campbell Street lot at a cost of approximately $200,000. If we were able to complete the alleyway, the pedestrian mall, if you will, which would utilize the alley just south of the History Center to connect the Campbell Street lot and 3rd Street, that would be an additional $100,000, making that project, we would do them together, a total of $300,000. SSA 16, this again is Fisher Farms. Revenues are projected at $136,800 and expenditures the same. This covers maintenance contracts for retention and detention areas, and Dick works with the Homeowners Association. They determine what contracts and what improvements they would like to see and what they're willing to pay in the SSA. The combined SSAs, all of the rest of them, revenues are $140,270, as well as expenditures. Regarding a question I received about the debt service, the 1997 Series A and B was for SSA 22, and it was in the amount of $3.8 million. The final payment is June of this year, and it's had a varying interest rate of 5.25% to 6.25%. We have one more payment, and that'll be in June, and then that'll be done. And I'm listing there the different SSA numbers and the corresponding subdivisions where those are located. TIF number two, the East State Street Tax Increment Financing Fund, revenues at $528,405 and operating at $66,495 and capital at $400,000. State Street Phase 2 Engineering, we're looking at contributing the $400,000 in capital line item this year to help move the state along with this project. The 2006 bond payment of $61,910 and leaving the fund balance at $676,146. The Tourism Fund, otherwise known as the Hotel Motel Tax Fund, revenues projected at $212,930 with expenditures the same. Contribution to the Chamber is $126,000 projected. That is 3% of the 5% hotel motel tax that we collect, and that's 60%, in other words, of the total taxes collected. The use of this fund is very restrictive, and it can be used for marketing, primarily for overnight tourism. $3,104 will be carried over from this fiscal year, leaving a fund balance after expenditures of $174. Tree Nursery Fund. You'll recall we allocated about $90,000 this year to address the EAB program. Therefore, with the exception of about $3,000, we expect the fund to be depleted. So we are proposing to eliminate this fund. We can, Public Works has a line item in Streets Department to address forestry, so there's no reason that we can't use that. That's really almost a duplication because we do use that for tree service as well. TRICOM Emergency Dispatch Fund, revenues $2.292 million, expenses the same with a fund balance of $841,496. TRICOM budget is scheduled for their board approval this Wednesday. Director Stacy Sarna is here and able to answer your questions on this budget. But she's been working very closely with Chief Mexen on it. As you know, the basis for this fund is our intergovernmental agreement with Batavia and St. Charles from 1976. And the reason that they go through the city's budget is because it's a legal instrument. This council really doesn't approve their budget, their board approves their budget, but they use our budget process as the legal instrument because they are not a government entity. They are created through the IGA. City's contribution, all cities' contributions are based on call volume, and the expenditures are offset by 911 wireless revenues, ETSB revenues, emergency telephone systems, revenues and the three cities' contributions. The Workers' Compensation Fund, this is an internal service fund. We're required by state statute to cover, and this is based primarily on workers' position classification, what the government classifies each of our positions at, and then we project what to include for coverage. And of course, this covers workplace injury claims. We are recommending tonight the approval of the miscellaneous funds, otherwise known as budgets, as we are presenting them with those changes on the four spreadsheets that you have in front of you. The balance of the funds, the general fund, the electric fund, the water and wastewater fund, and the capital funds will be presented next Monday at a special committee of the whole meeting. And we're asking that the City Council recommend approval and schedule the public hearing for April 16th, 2012.
Okay. Thank
you. And with
you.
That, staff is available to answer questions and provide more information if you need it.
Why don't we go ahead and take a motion for the recommending of the approval, and then we will open the floor to questions, if that's okay.
Second.
Okay. Hill and Singer recommend approval of the 2012-13 miscellaneous budgets as presented and the public hearing on April 16, 2012. And probably Ms. McKittrick shouldn't go far. Okay, let's open it up to questions from the dais. Does anyone have just a few little details to review?
I can answer.
Okay, Alderman Marks.
Mary, just a couple of quick questions. The IMRF fund, it's 83.4% funded. Is that the city, 83.4, or is that the overall state? Do you know? Or is that what we're funding?
That's the overall.
That's for the state?
For the overall state, yes. Okay.
But we're funding it at 100%, correct?
We are funding it, yes, because they give us the amount to fund, the percentage to fund, and that's what
so
we fund.
So we do it at 100%. And then it's great to see that the fire pension fund is at 90% funded, because most actuaries will consider that a fully funded plan.
Correct.
At that point, which is great to see. The one other comment was a question, something you said that I was confused about. You're recommending that the refuse fee goes up because the contract is going to come back up, I understand. Is that the fee that we charge on the electric and water bills for leaf pickup? Because I thought
Correct.
When we passed that leaf pickup, we covered that for 3 or 4 years. We didn't, or?
You only voted on last year's.
Oh, okay. All
and right. We were to apply the surplus monies to make up the difference, the leaf machines, which we did, although we still have one of the three left. We haven't been able to sell it.
Right.
And even though this year and the next couple of years were discussed, there was no vote to increase.
I thought we had voted on, though. That's why I had.
We did, too.
Okay.
But we.
I thought we did. That's why.
We went back and looked, and
we did. Okay. Well, that's fine. I thought we had taken care of it. You know, just one more. Just some clarification on that reappropriation, because I'm a little confused by it, because it's money that we're transferring, I understand, from the general fund, but then we're also showing it as a net change in funding.
No, it's not a transfer from the general fund. It's a transfer, if you want to say, from that fund balance.
Oh, okay, it's from the fund
from the
balance. That's why it's negative at the fund
Correct.
Balance. Okay, that's fine. That's all I had.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else have any questions? Okay, Alderman Dantino.
A couple of simple questions. Tricom, when we do all our bookkeeping work for them, or do they write their own checks and stuff?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, I guess there's St. Charles and Batavia are sending us money. Are we getting compensated for doing the bookkeeping and all that for St. Charles and Batavia?
Well, St. Charles is the administrator for Tri-City Ambulance.
Okay.
And we are the administrators
for the trade.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't know if Director Sarna wants to speak to that or not, but
I was just going to mention that we do pay for 5%, I believe, of certain employee salaries and benefits here that comes out of the TRICOM budget. So it's shared by, you know, the towns. I think it's definitely finance, a couple of finance department people and HR and stuff. Stephanie may have a better idea.
Some of our employees' time to
correct. Yes.
Yes. We pay 5% of someone. Go ahead.
There's several employees that do the accounting work and the payroll, so a certain percentage of their salary and benefits are attributed into the TRICOM.
The overall budget.
Budget.
Okay. My next question is, when we raised the tax on the SSA number one, I don't know if it was 1 or 2 years ago, I thought that was going to eliminate the transfer.
We did too. The EAV dropped. The downtown EAV dropped by 15%.
Okay.
That's why.
He wasn't here. I don't think he was here.
I might have missed that meeting. I missed a couple.
But that's the reason.
Okay, so then we have, I don't remember the number, 40 or 90,000 or something like that.
90,000 this
year. That's what the EAV drop cost the SSA number one.
Yep.
Well, it dropped, the EAV for the downtown dropped by 15%, and the 90,000 is what we're transferring to balance the budget.
Okay. All right. Mental health fund, they automatically take that 10% out because I know I'm on their board and they're going to come screaming about the 139,000 again because they always want an increase. But that's the same as last year, basically.
139 is, well, they actually went over a little bit by mistake last year, but it has been 100.
So it wasn't my mistake.
No, it wasn't your mistake. Yeah, it was inadvertent by them, but it was only by $1,000 or so. But it has been about 139 for the last couple of years.
When I go to the meeting, I have to emphasize that we have 100-some thousand dollars in a fund for a project, and they always seem to forget about that part of it. They think the city's doing something with it. I don't know what they're doing with it. What happens when you see these signs, Dazio towing all over the city? What happens when they tow your car? Do we get some of that money?
Actually, I'm looking into a towing administrative fee ordinance right now. We've just collected some information from other communities. I'm not sure. But, yes, we are looking into that. But, no, we don't. We don't.
I just had a recent experience with that, and it cost me any money. It cost my son $200 because he parked his car illegally, went downtown for the day, and had to get his car out at 9 o'clock at night and pay $200 in cash. I was wondering.
There may be a minimal amount, but there are other communities most recently that have adopted ordinances, and most of those administrative fees, in addition to what you're talking about, are around $500.
Oh.
That municipalities are starting to collect.
Good thing he did it this week, not last. He would have been unhappy.
His parents would have been more unhappy.
What?
His parents would have been more unhappy.
I didn't pay the bill. I worked illegally, not me. He's got a job. Snow removal. I sit home a lot and read the paper, and a lot of townships, counties have reported a great substantial savings on snow removal this year. How much do we have budgeted versus use? I tried to look for it, but I didn't find it quick enough. And where is the excess just going to stay in the fund then?
Well, this is, you're going to see a lot more of that when I bring the general fund.
Okay.
Because I think you're referring to the SSA, but the bulk of that is going to come out of the
okay. All right, if I'm jumping
the general fund there, Public Works Department.
I'll save that question for next week or whatever. Cemetery outsourcing, that'll leave us with no employees at the cemetery?
Well, it'll leave us with no employee dedicated to the cemetery, but we still expect to have at least one employee that would be working for the majority of the time on the street crew that could help out, that would be able to meet with folks, families, and funeral directors. We've also trained Jean Fernari to help with the administration of that. So she and Barb in Public Works, between the two of them, are taking on the administrative duties to do that, have been actually for the past year.
Okay. And if I'm being redundant because I missed some meetings, you can let me know. But the debt service fund, you're going to check in to see what we can do with that balance. Obviously, it sounded like from your presentation, we only got one option, is to pay one of these bonds off or something.
The question is whether we can apply it to any debt or do we have to apply it to a specific debt, which
okay.
We believe could be difficult because we think that the balance may have come from refunding and a savings because of refunding. And if that's the case, recall that we will roll several bonds together to refund them. So we're still doing some checking. All we know right now is that it can't be used for anything except debt payment.
All right, so ultimately we're going to have to pay, I thought it was $170,000 or whatever the balance was going to be. We'll have to pay that against one of these bonds we have.
It's $370,000.
$370,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'll be good, I guess.
Yes.
We can't use it anywhere else. Group dental. How much do employees pay for group dental?
Stephanie, do you have those numbers?
If it's a single plan, they don't contribute anything. So it's $33.25 a month that the employer, the city pays. For a family plan, they pay 50%, and I don't know what that is off the top of my head.
Okay, which segues me into the next thing is health insurance. Maybe it's about time we look at decreasing. I know you're going to come back with the unions and all of that stuff, decreasing the city's pay. That's a pretty rich program with the city contributing a lot of money toward it. And any company I worked at, and anybody can speak for themselves, they've paid a lot toward the individual, 90-100% in a lot of cases, but to the family and kids, they're down in the 40-50% range in a lot of places, and I don't know if that's an option. I know the union contracts have a lot to do with that, but if it's something we can look at, maybe we can make it active the last day of the last union contract or something like that, but I'd like to see anybody else's thoughts on that.
We do each year when we do our salary survey, we do look at benefits as well, and those contributions are based on the average of our comparable communities. So we are looking, you know, to compare apples to apples. We're looking at other communities. We're also looking at contracts. So if we made a change, we can do that. I mean, the council just needs to vote and tell us what they want to do, but it would be for only non-union employees.
Understood. And then the union would have to come as their contracts came due.
But, again, we would be looking at contracts when they came due again, and I've not seen a contract that is 50% or less, as you've suggested. Now, they may be out there, but on the list that I've seen, I've not seen any that low.
And I don't know that. I don't look at contracts, but I just read the new one we got today, but that's what caught my eye, but I don't study them or anything like that.
I just understand.
Know in the private sector, I talk to friends and people what they pay. You can ask anybody on this dais what they pay that's working, and I think they would tell you they'd be thrilled with 90 and 80.
I hear you, Alderman. I don't disagree whatsoever. But we did go through and advise the council on arbitration awards. We read the awards to the council members. We went through the reasoning behind the awards. We can go to arbitration over it, but it will cost the city. And based on what we've seen, I'm not trying to be a killjoy. We can
you're
certainly
not killing
do
my joy.
That.
I don't care about that. But
we're just, you know,
just trying to look for money. I know every employee wants a pay raise, and
I know,
and everybody wants to make more money as well as I do, and I'm working, and everybody else. But
I understand.
It seems to me, and this is just a personal opinion, that the city has come up a long way in the last since recession, and the private sector has taken a downward stride, and the salary levels that were at one height are now down here, even for new hires. So that's just my 2 cents worth. And if anybody else has a comment on the health insurance, I'd love to hear it. But that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else from the dais?
I have one question.
All right, Alderman Kilburn.
Could you explain again the cemetery and the outsourcing? And when is that effective? And we let that bid at what point in time? Maybe
it would be with the new fiscal year. We're proposing to start it with the new fiscal year.
Okay. So it's not in effect?
No.
It will be in effect
May 1st.
May 1st.
That's what we're proposing, yes.
Do we see any potential transition issues there? Obviously, that's sort of a busy time of the year with activities as you're gearing up for Memorial Day. I'm just wanting to become a little more enlightened.
Sure. There's always going to be that transition period, and we would be meeting, provided we move forward with this, I will be bringing the contracts forward shortly so we can get that in place, meet with the contractors. Mary alluded to the fact that we would have a street employee working with or part-time over at the cemetery. That's to make sure that the contractor that's doing landscape maintenance and the cemetery services, there'll be two separate contractors making sure that they're doing their jobs. We need to have someone overseeing that whole operation. So we'll have periodic inspections between myself, street superintendent, and then street maintenance worker, most likely.
Is the burial services contract on an annual basis, or it is per burial?
It would be per burial. Okay. So you pay as the need arises.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gingis. Anyone else from the dais? Does anyone in the audience have any questions about the miscellaneous budgets we talked about? Okay. Former Alderman Jim Radecki, I have a relative of yours at my house right now.
Oh, that's right, you do.
Yes, yeah. I do. No wonder they're here, because we're here.
His questions are about
it's a good thing it's not my son, so you're lucky. Yeah.
I would have stayed home.
Jim Radecki, 2258 Newport. Thank you all very much for the hard work that you do on the budget. I think the city does just an outstanding job with stewards for the taxpayers' money overall. I do have just a couple of quick questions, and one of them is more of a statement, I guess, and it's a policy-making statement for this body. I'm just wondering if there has been discussion about it, and it's something that goes back in time. And Alderman Dantino, I think you began to hit on it a little bit, and it's the mental health board budget. Currently, there's about a $100,000 carryover balance in that fund. Originally, I know they carried over a portion of the proceeds on an annual basis for a group home. Mm-hmm. And I think the fund, that balance was somewhere near $500,000 or something, and I think they did proceed with that project.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Is the thought to continue to, again, accumulate funds for another project of that nature? Is that what the Mental Health Board is looking at right now?
Well, being on the Mental Health Board, I can answer. I think it is to carry on to another project, just they have not identified one.
Right.
As of yet, unless they did in the last 2 months when I wasn't there, but I think they will. But 100,000, I think, is the balance roughly.
Okay.
You know, and they had to get it up to 500,000 last time to buy that house on South Street, which is beautiful if you haven't seen it.
Right.
That could take 20 more years to get there. I don't know what the size or magnitude of the project will be, but we are thinking about that.
Right. Well, I guess that kind of leads me to my question for the council, and it's one that's gone back in history and in time. In fact, Mayor Burns and I remember having a discussion when we were both aldermen about, and it's a question. You know, nobody would ever criticize, nor would anybody ever doubt the great work that the Mental Health Board does and the funds that go to very worthy agencies that we contribute that money to. I guess the question is for the group is, have you debated amongst yourselves the issue that you're really taking tax dollars from people, appointing a board, and then redistributing taxpayer dollars to nonprofit funds, to nonprofit entities that historically would be supported by private donations through fundraising events? And I guess is it the continued in these tough economic times and all the hard work that the council has done with the budgetary process, is it still the will of the council to take tax-funded accounts and redistribute them through a board to, again, what are historically nonprofit agencies? And some of the agencies, many of them, are not housed within even the Tri-Cities area. Some of them are in Elgin and other parts of the county. And again, absolutely no criticism and certainly what tremendous work they do. But, again, I think it's just a policy-making question for the city council to address that. Is that still appropriate use of taxpayers' funds in this economic time, or at any time, really?
Can I answer one part of this question?
Sure.
I think the money that goes to Elgin or Batavia, when they come asking for money, they have to prove how many or what percentage of Geneva citizens they service. If it's zero, they're not going to get any of Geneva's money. I mean, it's right. Just that way. So even though they're located in Elgin, Batavia, they are servicing King County people that live in Geneva. So that's how that part. The policy statement I won't touch. So
yeah. I think a while back I had asked for a
a good faith estimate as to what percentage of those funds really would service the people that contribute those funds, and that's the Geneva taxpayers, how many would go to Geneva residents. So that, I think that's when they started keeping track of that. And
maybe.
Yeah.
It's been that way
it's
since
been a while.
Been.
Yeah.
Well, and as you know, Jim, we on the fifth Mondays have been having policy discussions, and we surely can put this subject on one of our discussions to see, you know, maybe discuss if it's still the direction we want to go or break it down. Do we want to save money for a future project, or do we want to spend down what we have?
Right. Okay.
And we'll let you know when that is.
Okay.
No, okay, Alderman Kilburg.
Just
sure.
a couple of comments. I serve on the Geneva Community Chess Board, and last June we had our round of interviews with all the agencies that we support, and there's some duplication. Actually, there's probably a dozen agencies that that the Geneva Community Chess supports that the city also supports with the mental health funds, and I think the disturbing thing is that all these agencies have been cut back dramatically by the state. A lot of these agencies are operating on maybe 50 or 60% of what they were functioning on as recently as 5 or 6 years ago. And, you know, when you sit down and meet with these representatives of these agencies, they obviously are in dire straits. And the other thing about this is that as organizations like the Geneva Community Chess reach into the community and look for solicitation, as we solicit support, we've noticed that our revenue is down somewhere probably 25 to 30% of where it was as early as 2004, 2005. So these services are all being squeezed at a time when these services are desperately needed by a lot of people. I think if you talk to anyone with Tri-Family Family Services, Fox Valley Hospice, suicide prevention, a lot of those agencies, it's pretty gut-wrenching to talk about the decisions that they've had to make. So I think you raise a good point, and I think it's certainly a topic that can be discussed, but I just hope that we really take a good hard look at all the facts before we reach a decision as it relates to this subject.
Thank you. Yeah, and I guess that kind of furthers my point that I know that the state continually requires more and more and more for local governments to do for their people as the funding dries up from the state. So, you know, that burden does get shifted, and I guess that's another policy.
And more to come, probably.
No doubt. Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you all very much.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Mr. Campbell.
Don, can I just
I
just wanted some clarification.
Colleague, yes.
Wasn't that mental health board really voted in by the citizens, that tax? I mean, that's not something the council did, was it?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because
I mean,
I don't know the same question.
It wasn't when I was on the board, but just some clarification, Mary, if you could for
the creation of the board was voted in.
By the council, but the tax itself?
The maximum amount is set by state statute. So it's up to the council to determine up to that maximum rate, and I think it's 15 cents of what to levy. That falls under our tax cap.
Okay, so that falls. So what happens is we as a council set that committee or group up, and then the state allows us to tax a certain amount.
The referendum created
the referendum. It was
a
referendum.
Okay. Created the board, and then the council determines the funding.
Okay, fine.
So there was
thank you.
But thank you. I had that same question, so I'm glad you clarified
that. I was just confused.
That.
So it was a referendum, right?
Yeah. Just by way of background, the referendum passed in 1989.
Okay.
However, it failed twice before that.
Okay.
Mr. McCracken, whom we all know very well, was the father of that initiative, if you will. And it failed twice prior to passing in 1989. And Mr. Radecki and I had this discussion a while back. What's fascinating is when the referendum passed, the population of Geneva was half of what it is now. Mm. So it does stand to reason that a policy discussion
could be. Yeah,
it's worthy of another discussion.
Okay.
So before I moved in.
Mr. Campbell, if you don't mind, I have two more people who just want to speak to Alderman.
That's fine.
Marx's question. Alderman D'Antino?
Mary, you said the amount was 15 cents maximum. How much are we putting
3 cents.
How much?
3.
Okay. That's all I needed. Thank you.
And Alderman Brown?
Thank you. The mayor was right on, even though this was passed
Mike.
By referendum. The mayor was correct. Even though this was passed by referendum, there comes a point at some point in the future where none of the people who voted for it or against it are even in the city of Geneva anymore. So it becomes a question for the council in appropriate time period to reconsider whether or not it still makes sense. And we could do that either by going to referendum again or just doing our fiduciary business, which is saying this referendum was passed a long time ago. Does it still make sense? And I think we should do that and put it on one of our policy sessions because 89 is many years ago. We won't even try to do the at least a generation ago. So it makes sense to ask the question again. Thank you.
Thank you. And that would be a good discussion. We weren't filibustering. Go ahead, Mr. Collins.
My turn. Okay.
My
name's
Campbell.
Colin Campbell. I live on 6th Street. Having spent my life on the other side of this in the not-for-profit community, struggling through occasional state meltdowns in the state of New York and wondering how we were going to survive and our agency still alive today somehow. But the question of is it the role of the taxpayer to fund the not-for-profit agency, just one quick thought about that. I think it is the role of government to collect money from the community and then distribute it for the needs of the community, whether that's waste removal or planting trees or helping people with mental health. Or in some cases physical health. It's a need of the community and it's an appropriate use of taxpayer money if it is carefully watched and carefully regulated. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the audience? Mr. Alderman D'Antino.
One thing I forgot when I was asking my litany of questions was the EAB trees. How far along are we on those? Dan.
That'd be next week's buzzer.
As you'll recall, this past fiscal year, we kind of did a budget amendment and put $300,000, awarded a contract to Winkler for $300,000. We are at a point where we're probably just over $200,000 expent. They have removed all of the trees that would be the high hazard, the big trees that are in power lines along the state highways that require more traffic control. We're at a point where they are now doing the stump removals for the trees that we're looking to plant this spring. And we're hoping to, because we've got over 700 stumps. We've removed a lot of trees, but we weren't doing the stumps. And now we need to start to clean up the stumps. So that's what we're working on now. However, we still have probably of the 2,800 trees that we estimated in the parkways, we're probably only about halfway there. And our crews will continue to remove trees this year and going on and continue with stump removals and restorations.
I was hoping you said more than half, but it's...
We're close in there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, if there are no more questions, I do need to ask Alderman Hill and Singer for a friendly amendment because I misread the, I read it as it is, but it was supposed to read, recommend approval of 2012-13 miscellaneous budgets as amended and public hearing on April 16, 2012. Do you both agree with that friendly amendment?
Yes.
Yes, I will approve that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we'll just go ahead and vote on that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Which brings us to new business. Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Dawn. I would like to give a big thanks to Alderman Flanagan for the marvelous manner in which she supported our community with our flowers. Beautification Fund and the manner in which her committee functioned at the PASA for POSIs. I don't know how much money you raised, but it was a delightful program and very well attended.
And I want to compliment you and your staff, Mrs. Flanagan, and I certainly appreciate what you're doing for our community.
Well, thank you, Alderman Singer. I don't think the thanks all goes on my shoulders. I have a great fundraising committee now, and they had taken over most of the work. I basically just did some of the administrative and organizational things, but they were the ones who were instrumental. They came up with some of the newer ideas, and so I have to pass my or pass your thank you on to them because they really did a fabulous job this year. Our attendance was a little bit lower than we have had in past years, but because we had the new venue, our bake sale, and a prize drawing, so that kind of helped ease our low attendance. So I do want to thank them, and thank you very much, Alderman Singer, for giving me the opportunity to thank them.
Thank you. Anyone else have any new business? If not, I will entertain a motion to go into closed session on collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives.
So moved.
Second.
Marks and Singer, and we're going to take a roll call, and we do not expect any action upon our return.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Donald Cummings?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
That went a lot faster than better than I think.
Yeah.